You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, first up on the show today, we have Thomas Matten, a research scientist with the Global Penguin Society from the University of Otago. He's talking about the latest report on climate change and the threat of extinction to the yellow-eyed penguin. The report outlines the factors contributing to the endangered species. It also says, due to a number of human and climate factors, the yellow-eyed penguin will be extinct by 2060. I started by asking, what are the contributing factors found in the study?
Well, first of all, we have to clarify that we predict that the yellow-eyed penguins on the mainland are extinct by 2060. And the main factors that are driving the current decline, which is actually ongoing since the mid-90s, is on one hand climatic, principally ocean warming is contributing to their demise, but that explains only one-third of the actual decline. So there are other factors, particularly human-made factors like fisheries bycatch, but also the alteration of the marine habitat, pollution and human disturbance on land that are all contributing to that.
So how was the study conducted to find these three different factors?
We were in the fortunate position to have 35 years worth of monitoring data, which is something that is rarely available these days. You know, with fast science and everything, you just don't have the stamina to conduct such long-term studies. And we just modeled these data against various environmental parameters. And with regards to the climate variables, we have heaps of data. We've got all these weather stations. We've got satellites that have been recording various oceanographic variables since years. So we had a similar continuous time series for these environmental data there as well. The problem, of course, is that for fisheries, bycatch, fisheries activities, as well as pollution, there is no such time series. These data are either not available or have never been recorded. So we can't actually put a hard figure to the impact of these factors, unfortunately.
So the first factor you talked about was climate change, and you said particularly ocean warming. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, we think that it has something to do with the productivity of the foraging habitat of those birds. Yellow-eyed penguins are one of the largest, biggest penguin species, and that's probably because they have adopted a seafloor foraging strategy. Other large penguin species like king penguins, emperor penguins, and so on, they are big so that they can dive deep, whereas yellow-eyed penguins are probably large penguins because it allows them to stay longer at the seafloor. And so they rely on a functioning seafloor ecosystem on the continental shelf where those birds forage. Most of the nutrients that run this biodiversity at the seafloor come from the top layers of the water, because it's all stuff that is flushed into the oceans through our rivers. And that stuff has to sink down to the seafloor to fuel the productivity there. And when the water is warmer, it doesn't mix as well with the cooler water at the bottom of the ocean, and it stays, so the nutrient stays at the top. And that means the warmer the sea surface temperature, the less productive the seafloor environment, and the less food there is for the penguins.
Right, so that's obviously quite a raising concern with climate change. Mm-hmm. You say two-thirds are made up by human factors, so fisheries and human disturbance. Can you tell me a bit more about those factors?
We know from anecdotal evidence that particularly bycatch in gill nets or set nets are a huge problem for the species. The issue we have, though, is that there is no proper observer program in place, particularly not in those areas where we have the penguins. So we can't really quantify how common these bycatch and these accidental drownings in set nets occur. We just have, as I said, these anecdotal reports of fishermen taking out as many as 12 or more penguins in just one hole, which is substantial considering that we only have about, you know, 600 birds left on the mainland.
Yeah, that's incredibly substantial. So with the human disturbance, is that what kind of factors contribute to that?
We actually have done a series of research projects in the past on that issue, and the biggest problem is that the yellow-eyed penguin is a very shy penguin, and it doesn't like to be disturbed on land. And when there are people on the beach, the penguins decide to stay in the water rather than to come ashore. And the more people there are on the beaches, the less likely it is that a penguin comes ashore in time to feed its chicks. And we have actually found that this can cause chicks to be, you know, underweight when they fledge, which dramatically reduces their chance for survival. So human disturbance, particularly on beaches where access is not regulated or monitored or policed by wardens or so, are a bit of a problem for those birds as well.
Given that two-thirds of the factors are human factors, do you have some recommendations that you can see to stop this, or what can we kind of do to reduce this?
Yeah, it's very important that, first of all, we sit together with policymakers, the fishing industry, our scientists and conservation agencies, to discuss ways how we can quickly assess and mitigate all the effects that fisheries might have on the penguins. That's the most immediate thing that we need to take care of. And that has to happen rather sooner than later, because as our study shows, we don't have much time to waste on that one. And then we had some warden activity, for example, here on the Otago Peninsula. But, you know, the resources are lacking. The Department of Conservation has been whittled down to a skeleton, so they don't have the resources to monitor beaches and to educate the public properly on how to behave around penguins. You know, there are people that are running after the penguins just to grab a bloody selfie, which is, yeah, not what the penguin wants. And so we need to educate the population and the public about how to behave when there are penguins, so keep your distance. And hopefully we can reinvigorate the warden program on public beaches, so that we have people on the ground that tell visitors to stay away or tell them about the penguins and help them to appreciate them.
Yeah, so you mentioned that obviously this is quite an urgent issue. How much time would you say we do have to help these yellow-eyed penguins?
I would compare it to the whole climate change debate. You know, everybody talks about that we need to avoid warming the climate by 2 degrees by 2050. So that's, we're talking about just a few years. And it's equally as urgent with the penguins. We have until 2060, until our model predicts that they're gone from the Otago Peninsula. And that is an optimistic outlook. So that's a very conservative approach. If our worst scenarios come true, the penguins are gone even sooner than that. So we really have absolutely no time to waste, and we need to get cracking now. There's one thing that we really need to think about, and that's the concept of marine protected areas. There have been efforts to create marine protected areas off the peninsula here, for example, and along the entire South Otago and Southland coast. And there have been negotiations about that. And just a few months ago, there were final proposals that were submitted for public consultation. And when you look at those proposed marine protected area sites, they just don't cut the mustard at all, because all the proposed sites are outside of the areas that are of interest for the fisheries. So the fisheries are just not impacted at all by these marine protected areas. At the same time, the fisheries go where the fish are. So do all the penguins, seals, and so on and so forth. So it's futile to create MPAs that have no really ecological meaning whatsoever and are just tokens, so that New Zealand can say, hey, we have marine protected areas. They're useless, but we still have them. And that's something that really needs to be addressed by us all.
So do you think that needs to be addressed in terms of policy change?
Yeah, it's a policy change on one hand. Then again, you know, we have the policy. They want to create these marine protected areas. The problem is that, you know, all the interest groups are sitting at the same table, and they have to find a compromise. And so far, it always seems that the compromise is leaning towards favoring local fisheries. And that is because there's absolutely no political willingness to oppose fishing interest and industry interest there at all. So all the MPA proposals I've seen so far, you know, the maximum fishery displacement is less than 1% if those things are established. So there should be sort of, you know, a minimum threshold of fisheries displacement to make any sense to the whole process. So So it's as much a policy change as it is an attitude change in the mind of the public, because just saying, hey, 10% of our waters are now MPAs, but they're all, you know, in dead zones anyhow, we need to make a difference when we create those in terms of preserving stuff rather than just having it as a token effort.
Yeah, like it seems like marine wildlife needs to be really put at the forefront and prioritized as opposed to maybe the fisheries in this case.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, and that's what we're trying to do next with our research, is we really need to take a close look at, you know, the hard dollar value of the different resources we have there. And what we're trying to do is we try to come up with the revenue that the region, you know, Otago or Dunedin makes out of the fisheries, the local fisheries that are affecting the penguins. And we also will look at how much money the penguins make for the local economy. I mean, this exercise has been done 10 years ago, and the results were that the penguins alone flush around $100 million per year into the local economy here through, you know, restaurant visits and hotel bookings and what have you. Because if you watch penguins on the Otago Peninsula, you can only do so in the evening, so you're more likely to stay in Dunedin. So that's something that we really want to look at, and hopefully we can highlight that, you know, maintaining our marine life, our top-level predators like penguins and seals is in the end worth a lot more than the pure fishing revenue.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
That was Thomas Metten, a research scientist with the Global Penguin Society from the University of Otago.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.